This podcast contains adult language. Welcome to DigitalDarren.com podcast. Today is Wednesday, September the 4th, 2013, and it's week 2, college football picks and kicks. Lenny!
What it do, what it do?
What's up, big homie?
Man, I can't call it, man. Good to be here.
Hey, it's good to have you here. You know, hear Lenny's voice, so you know it's college football time.
Sure.
We're going to do our picks, but first, before we do that, in our picks column right now, Linus is 5-2 and I'm 4-3. Before we get into the actual picks, did you want to talk about a recap of any of the games from last week?
Man, I would love to talk about some recaps, man. Yeah, we could recap a few of them.
All right, what game you want to talk about first?
I mean, man, we can start off with the big, let's see, ACC versus SEC. I mean, you know, since y'all guys are so much conference riders.
Well, not so much conference riders, but we are UGA fans around here, and I know we need to talk about the Mark Richt UGA versus Clemson, where, again, Mark Richt and Aaron Murray combination has let us down. Let's start off with you.
I disagree, man. I disagree strongly with that on blaming the coach and, let's say, the QB that you guys who some feel that was a Heisman front runner or in the Heisman chase, but as I tried to tell you guys, man, Clemson, man, was not a sleeper. I mean, like I said, you guys' defense, to me, you know what I mean, kind of let you down a little bit. Going up against the athletes that Clemson has on offense and that fast-paced offense also.
I'll agree. The defense wasn't good. I'll spin it this way. Nobody was expecting the defense to be good anyway. So I think that what little we got from the defense was accurate. Georgia went into the season knowing that, hey, we're going to have to win by outscoring people. And it was critical turnovers at critical junctions that's just been the hallmark of Aaron Murray. Calhoun calls him the Tony Romo of college football, and you kind of have to agree with that to some extent.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, like, when the guy from Clemson muffed the kick, the next play, Aaron Murray threw an interception.
Yeah.
You just can't have that. And I don't know if you would believe a momentum in football. I am. But once you get things like that, the momentum, especially when you're on the road, you need to have a little momentum carrying you through. And I just didn't get that from Aaron Murray.
Yeah, I can agree with you. But, I mean, I'm looking at who put him in this situation where, okay, we just made a big play and we turn around and then give it right back to him. Okay, let's go to the hot man. Let's go to girl. How about that?
So you saying Mike Bobo is the problem? Or you're pointing the front finger at Mike Bobo?
I think Mike Bobo is one of the worst offensive coordinators in the country. Like, I mean, I don't know how this guy still is hanging on to this coordinator job, this OC job in Georgia. Like, it's not Richt to me. It's not Richt. Richt has, like I said, we talked about this before. Richt has brought you guys back alive, but I mean, he's been too loyal to this offensive coordinator who isn't getting him anywhere, you know what I mean, in Georgia. So
being too loyal can be a problem. We saw that with Jim Moore with the Falcons. So you can be too loyal to your assistant coaches. And if he's being too loyal, it is a fault. I was looking at ESPN the other day, and Mike Bellotti, the old Oregon coach, he made a good point. He said he didn't think Aaron Murray had progressed to the level that he should have progressed, considering his experience. I mean, this is a guy who's, he probably got 50 stars or close to 50 stars so far. And Mike Bellotti was like, he wasn't really pleased with his progress. And I have to agree with that. And then he came back and brought another interesting point, is that Mark Richt loves a pro style offense, but Aaron Murray is short. And sometimes maybe he can't see over the line and see certain windows. And that's why he makes those interceptions. I don't know why they're critical times. But he seems to have one of those plays pretty much every game. And he just doesn't seem to be comfortable in the pocket. And I'll agree with you. I don't think they're calling help. I think when Gurley got hurt, they went a little more away from running and put it in Aaron Murray's hands. actually thought Keith Marshall had a decent game.
Yeah. I mean, they had to give Keith Marshall opportunities, though. I mean, like I said, if it wasn't broke, I mean, why try to fix it? Like, I mean, Georgia run game is hands down one of the best in the country. So, I mean, like I say, why not stick with the run game? You know what I mean? It didn't work to play as fast. Now, we talking about first down. Like, what the hell are you going on first down with this? Who are you trying to fool?
I agree with you. And the offensive line, I give Dabo Swinney, and we'll talk about from their end later. I give Dabo Swinney and his staff all the credit in the world. It was like a certain point that they, in the second quarter, like right before going into halftime, where they decided to turn up the pressure. And they just put a little more oomph into a couple more blitz packages. Yeah. And they seemed to confuse Georgia with that. And to the detriment of Mike Bobo, he didn't come back with a plan. And to your point, we should have ran the ball a little more. I think that they didn't help the offensive line by the play call. Yeah. And so I think that people are saying the offensive line had a bad game. I just thought the offensive line had maybe three or four bad possessions. And they just happened to be back to back to back. But once they kind of settled it out, you can't really say anything. Because you can't have a bad game and give 500 yards of offense. Regardless of what we say about Aaron Murray or Mark Rick or Mike Bobo. They had 500 yards of offense. And now the thing is, and this is what differentiates them between Alabama, is that Alabama will make a one-stop play or a one that must-have play.
Yeah.
And Georgia still hasn't gotten it to break it down like that.
Yeah. I mean, like I say, it was no stopping each other, like I say. I mean, Clemson came with a few stops and a couple big plays, but it was really like, you know what I mean, if we score, now you guys got to come back and answer. And then, I mean, when it was time for Georgia to come back with an answer, I mean, they didn't have it, so.
And I just finished my thoughts on the Georgia side of that from this. The difference in the game, Taj Boyd, no turnovers. Aaron Murray, two turnovers. An interception and a costly fumble.
Yeah.
And that's just been his MO, and it's been his MO too much.
Yeah.
So enough about the losers. Let's spin it toward the winners. What did you think of Clemson?
I think Clemson, man, Clemson came out there and they did what I expected them to do on offense. And like I said, I mean, if you go back and listen to the tape, I said, I don't think it would be no defense in this game. You know what I mean? It would be all offense. Taj Boyd, Sammy Watkins, and the rest of those guys. I mean, like I said, Clemson broke in a new running back. The guy came out of nowhere. And, I mean, he showed his tail, so.
Yeah, I think on the edges they had Georgia out mismatch. And so, you know, Damian Swan, I won't say he was preseason All-SEC, maybe second team All-SEC.
Yeah.
He didn't look like it in the game, and maybe because Sammy Watkins is back to form, and that offense just caught them in space. But if I was Georgia, and maybe this won't hunt them in the SEC as much, I would really be worried about playing in space, because one of the few areas I thought that Georgia actually improved on over last year was the pass rush. I thought they had more of a consistent pass rush from a group of guys, and last year they just had Jarvis Jones doing all the pass, you know, all making all the sacks. This year, I thought that they had actually a pretty good rush. They had, what, three or four sacks on Taj Boyd, excuse me. So, I thought that part was improved on them.
Yeah.
But enough about Georgia and Clemson. Salute to Dabo, really good win. Mark Rick, we need one of those. And I'm going to spend it positively for both teams. Clemson now is in prime position for the national championship. They play y'all and whoever else they play in the ACC championship in South Carolina. So they only have three hard games. If they can get through those, they'll be good. Yeah. But Georgia, if they win out, they'll still be in good shape. So there's no reason to hold your head.
Yeah.
Right. What other games that interested you last week?
That's Alabama and Virginia Tech. I mean, I really think Virginia Tech had a couple of opportunities where they had a chance to, get in the game or not take control of the game, but make it a ball game, and they let it slip through their fingers. The guy, like I said, the receivers weren't helping Logan out. I mean, like I said, the defense played it hard out. You know what I mean? I think. You know what I mean? They actually played better than what I thought they were going to do. So,
yeah, you made the key point. The receivers didn't help Logan Thomas out. I thought he actually played good in the game. Like, if you would just sit there and with the throws he made and the throws that should have been caught.
Yeah.
You know, if I would give him grace, I would have gave him a B in the game.
Yeah.
And I think Alabama helped him out, too, by being sloppy by Alabama standards.
Yeah.
I think that one thing, Beamer done gave up the special teams touchdown.
Yeah.
That's not a trademark of them. Yeah, so I think that that's where they got away from the game plan when you plan to build a team, is you can't give up cheap touchdowns like special teams and interception returns.
Too much when you plan.
Exactly, a team like that. But that's the greatness of Nick Saban and his teams. You clearly, they weren't on their A game, but they still were good enough to pound.
Yeah.
Actually, a very game Virginia Tech. I thought Virginia Tech was very game for that.
I just think they missed a lot of opportunities in that game where they had a chance of probably just, you know what I mean, making it a ball game, like I said. I mean,
a game that interested me, probably the best game of the weekend, or one of the best games besides Georgia and Clemson, was actually Vanderbilt and Ole Miss. That game was a very back-and-forth game. Did you see any of the game?
Yeah, I glimpsed. I took a glimpse at it, man. You know, I'm not going to tell a lie.
What did you think of it?
I mean, I watched a little bit of it and I cut it off, man. I mean, like I said, I'm not going to waste my time on watching bottom feeders, as I'm going to call them, bottom feeders of the SEC. But it looked like I missed a pretty good game. So
I know. Yeah, the game was – I actually saw all of the game. We actually edited in the podcast. Kim Beachu, he's so much bigger than everybody else. And I thought he got a lot of accolades and a lot of – they put the camera on him a lot because he was the ESPN number one recruit. Thought he did okay, but the recruit who actually kind of was like, wow, was number one, Larry Treadwell, the receiver. He made a big play after big play after big play after big play. So if you're an Ole Miss fan, you have to be happy about what you're seeing out of him. And even Robert Kendiche too, but more so out of Treadwell. And so if you're on that side and have to play them, I would focus more on him because he's a really good receiver in the making.
Yeah.
Any other games you want to recap or talk about?
I mean, you talk about the Oregon State guys taking a big L.
Yeah, that was that's inexcusable. They basically was a back and forth game, and I have to give Eastern Washington all the credit in the world because they stayed with it. And actually, we have an award. We have the Lewinsky Award and the You Suck Award. And the Lewinsky Award is to just do head for the college people or teams who deserve it. And we'll talk about the Lewinsky Award right before we do our picks. But trust me, Eastern Washington is getting the Lewinsky Award. And on the flip side, Oregon State is getting the
You Suck
Award. So that's just a quick preview of that.
Yeah.
Real quickly, before we go to the picks and stuff, LSU and TCU, did you get a chance to look at any of that game?
Yeah, I caught a little bit of that game.
What did you think?
Going back and forth to me, y'all. I mean, like I say, that's another one. Like I felt like TCU was not going to have the depth to go against LSU for four quarters straight. So, I mean, they came and they played their hearts. I just don't think they had enough four quarters to go with.
Did LSU look like a national championship threat to you?
Not going to lie, not off the rip, they did. Not off the rip. I mean, like I said, they got going.
What did you think of that Mettenberg?
Same old, you know, just manage the game. You know, don't give it away.
Have you seen nothing? Do you think Cam Cameron has helped improve him, or have you seen any? Like, have you seen that he worked with a professional?
I mean, you can tell that he's been working, but I don't think that, I mean, it's going to be that much difference. You know what I mean? Like I said, I mean, the offense was kind of watered down a little bit. Water what you're seeing for LSU, just pound, pound, pound. But, I mean, they put the ball in the air pretty much.
Yeah. Again, it was a vanilla win. You have to be impressed with LSU's defense because their defense really played good. Because they lost, I want to say they had eight people drafted. They had a lot of people drafted. Anyway, their defense played good concerning that. Like you, they give me that feeling, you know, not really like, wow, you know.
Yeah.
And so they actually look like they can be beat by Georgia and Alabama. So
that's
further down the line. But
we'll see.
Johnny Manziel. We got to talk a little Manziel. Did you catch him against Rice?
Yeah, I watched that jackass.
What'd you think?
I mean, Manziel, like I say, he just slapped everybody in the face. You know what I mean? With his cockiness this week. I actually like the kid, man. So, like I say, seeing him this week with this bonehead shit he's doing out there, man. So
yeah, he's just getting into too much, and he's taking it too far. Like, Rice actually played a good game up until the end. They couldn't have it.
Yeah. They did an excellent job.
For them. And so, you know, Johnny Manziel, he's, God help him if he doesn't win in Alabama, because all this fame and cockiness will come down crashing if Alabama beats them and beats them bad. And he doesn't have a good game.
Yeah.
So I think he should be worried about that.
Yeah. I mean, he's around here writing checks that his ass is going to, he might have trouble cashing this week against Alabama. So I think they're going to be prepared for him this time.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah.
They actually play Alabama next week. They got a tune up game. I think Alabama's off this week.
Yeah.
All right, that's all the games that we want to recap. Do you have any other week one thoughts that you want to share? Oh, hold on. Sorry about that. We got to talk about your team. My bad. I apologize.
I didn't want to just, you know what I mean, go into it, just blow my own team up.
Oh, no, you deserve it. Cause,
you know what I mean? You know, shout out to them Seminoles, man. I'm telling you.
Seminoles, they beat the snot out of Pittsburgh.
Yeah, yeah.
Star of the night was Jameis Winston.
Did
you see his girl? He had a cute little girlfriend. She said he better than Manziel. You know what I'm saying? Like, just shout out to him. He played a good game. Like, as a Florida State fan, what did you think? Because the nation has been giving him a lot of heat.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like I said, I want to see this make this consistent. You know what I mean? I don't want to see it inconsistent. This week it happened, and, you know, next week he turn around and it's an off game.
Well, I'm sure y'all play Chattanooga or somebody, so he ain't got to worry about that.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I don't care who we play. You know what I mean? Like I said, I just want to see him do the same thing every game he comes out. Give it y'all. Like EJ, last year we had this problem. I said, I like EJ. But like I said, the EJ that played against Clemson wasn't the EJ that we had all year long. And I think that's where we missed a lot of opportunities, you know what I mean, last year. But I think Jimbo trusted this kid a lot more than he trusted his past quarterback. So,
real quickly, can you compare and contrast EJ to Jameis Winston? Like, what? Because physically they look the same. Is one of them more agile? Is one of them strong? Like, it doesn't have to be a long comparison. Like, what do you see in Winston that you didn't see in EJ? Or do you have
what I see in Winston that I didn't see in EJ is Winston comes out the gate with, I'm taking over this team, when EJ kind of came out the gate and just, you know what I mean, just kind of just wiggled his way into the light, like, okay, I think I want to take over the team. You know, I'm the QB. Winston is out there. I'm talking about he came flat out the gate, straight out the gate or whatever, and just took over the team, like, okay, like, let's roll. So, I mean, I like that.
Okay. All right, that's what's up. So that concludes the preview. Well, no. Did you want to talk about the game? Or did what any other players impress you? Because the rushing attack wasn't everything that you guys are normally used to.
Yeah,
so.
Pass rush, man. Defensive line, I mean, like I say, we're going to have to work a little bit harder, you know. Hicks, he didn't look like, he didn't look anything like any that he had been promising. I mean, he's a senior and, he's taking up, he's picking up some slack that was left from a lot of guys that went pros, and I don't think he got it right off the rip. So, I mean, hey, just go with these young boys this next week.
Okay.
Tellman Smith from the middle linebacker spot, man. Salute to him. The secondary, I think the secondary did
a pretty good job. Yeah, that's going to be y'all strong.
Damn good job for the secondary, man. Yeah. So, you know, defensive line, Timmy Jernigan, he did his thing as usual. But, I mean, let's say Mario Elwes and the rest of you guys, let's help him out, man.
Okay. All right, so that's it for week one recap. So, now, before we get into the picks, last week, you wind up going 5-2, and I wind up going 4-3. Thanks, Georgia. That's pretty much the difference. We both picked Vandy to win, and they lost. And you picked UNC because you hate the SEC and South Carolina.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So right now you're up 5-2, and I'm up 4-3. I'm 4-3. So you're a game up on. But we'll catch up. This week is the week I catch up. So I'll let you start. What game interests you this week?
I got to go with these Gamecocks versus these Dogs, man. Number 6 versus number 11.
All right, let's talk about it. And we haven't talked enough about Georgia. We will now. Go on to start it off.
South Carolina, man. I mean, like I said, these guys been doing a lot of talk. Well, I'm not going to say these guys. I'm going to say Clown. He's been doing a lot of talk.
What did you think of his week one performance? We looked at at least the first half of the game while we were doing some other podcast work.
It showed that he took some time off during the spring, and it looked like he missed a lot more of the spring the way he was gassed out there. So, I mean, this week, maybe we'll see.
Do you think he'll be in shape this week?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, I will hope he is, because I mean it's gonna be amazing. It's gonna be a good game, so I hope he shows up.
Clown. Aaron Murray is one of the quarterbacks he called out. So even if he isn't at his best, I think the great equalizer is that he knows Aaron Murray is scaling him.
Yeah.
And so with that being said, he might not be in shape. He'll probably suck it up a couple of extra plays he wouldn't normally suck it up just to get to Aaron Murray.
Yeah.
And so that's enough about clowning. To win this game, Aaron Murray has to be better than normal. South Carolina's won 3 in a row against us. Mark Richt and Bobo have to come up with a game plan. And I would still start off by compensating clowning, block, sending 2 to block him, maybe sending 3 to block him, and then just see where it goes, because you can always take a first couple of series and just feel him out. And if he isn't there, then you can open up the playbook a little more. Yeah. But I have no confidence in Aaron Murray and Mark Richt combo in big games. So I would put caution on the side of, you know, protection as opposed to opening up. Now the thing that, go ahead.
I was going to say, I mean, it's the SEC, as you guys say. I mean, you guys supposed to be the pound of the pound, the best, and you know, this the way we do it over here. And I mean, like I say, damn clown. I mean, that's how Georgia should look at it. Like, I mean, we're going to run right at you the same way Alabama ran at Jarvis Jones last year in the SEC championship game. Run at them.
I actually think that's a good strategy, because North Carolina, they went the other way and they did so much trying to avoid him that they were down 21-0 and like, oh shit. And once they started playing that game, they got a little more success.
Yeah, I mean, it's like a bully in your school. I mean, you can't run away from this guy forever, man. Yeah. You got to show up.
I can agree to that. Yeah. I can agree to that. So I think that offensively, Georgia, they had 500 yards offense again. And so their running game was on point.
Yeah.
If it was about who I believe in more, I still do not believe in Connor Shaw. So even though I give Aaron Murray a hard time, I believe in him and Mike Bobo and Mark Richt more than I believe in Connor Shaw and Steve. Connor Shaw was horrible in that game. He hit, what, maybe 2 big throws, and Dylan Thompson came in and hit a throw. Yeah. Yeah, he started off hot and went back to his normal self. And so if you were a South Carolina fan, I don't see how you have confidence for a big season out of him.
But, I mean, you got to look at, like, I don't see Steve Spurrier putting Shaw in these predicaments for him to go out there and screw up. So, I mean, like I say, I mean, it's a big game between you two. So, I think they're going to try to do what they do. They're going to try to run the ball. They're going to try to catch y'all slip. Connor Shaw, he's going to run the ball himself. He's going to hand it off to Mike Davis. And, I mean, I guess they're going to let their defense play. So, I mean, we'll see.
Okay. I can see that. And I can agree with what you're saying. Right now, I rather teams run on us and throw on us. I think our secondary is horrific right now. I have more faith in the front 7 than I do the back 4, even though it's not that much faith. But
that middle linebacker you got, I mean, Georgia.
Herrera.
Yeah, from College Park. Yeah, he's a game.
Yeah, so.
He's a game.
I mean, he's probably the best player on the defense right now. I'd rather them, if they're running, I'm more confident in the game. So, with that being said, who do you have winning?
Once again, I mean, this week, I'm taking the game, Costa. You all know, I just can't stand Georgia. So, I'm taking the game, Costa. I'm taking South Carolina. I'm not going to call them guys game, Costa. I mean, my team, we beat them. So, I'm taking South Carolina.
Once been, twice shy. Fool me once, shame on you. Fool me twice, shame on me. I can't go with Mark Richt. I mean, this rips me to my very core, because I walked in the wall
so bad.
I'll still go with Georgia.
Oh, man.
I can't let you.
You can't go with your heart, man.
My head is saying South Carolina. My heart is saying Georgia. Georgia needs this game like nobody's business. And somebody said this. God help Georgia before we go on to Georgia. They may shut the school down. So they have to win this game. And even though I have very little confidence or faith in Georgia right now in big games, they're going to prove me wrong and they're going to win this game. All right, so let's go to another game. The next game I got is still in the South. Seems like South the only one playing hard games right now. Is Miami versus Florida.
Oh, yeah.
Two storied programs, the U versus Florida. Al Golden is on his way back. I wasn't impressed with Will Muschamp them last week. Did you see that guy in Georgia school look like shit again? Yeah, so I don't see how you can really have any confidence in Florida in this game, but their defense played well.
Defense played excellent, man. I mean, that's Florida defense. That's what Muschamp, that's what he brings, defense.
Yeah, he's a defensive guru. And so I really, 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 really don't know what else to expect from Florida. Because, again, Jeff Driscoll, if they would have played anybody besides Toledo, they would have lost that game with the way he plays. And so I don't see how you have any confidence. So.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's spin this back to the U. I saw the U play. They didn't play anybody. They played Florida Atlanta. But Stephen Morris, he looked okay. But Duke Johnson, look, he picked up where he left off. I think he had like 160 yards rushing on like 7-8 carries. So
yeah.
He looked really good.
Yeah, Duke came out and did his thing. Like you say, picked up where he left off. Duke Johnson, man. I had an argument with a couple guys in the Sports Goon. Shout out to the Sports Goon. About Duke Johnson and Gurley. They were saying that Duke Johnson wouldn't be able to run wild in the SEC. So, I mean, I think Duke Johnson is a gamer. So, I mean, I think he can do it anywhere in the country. So,
I mean, if you play for the U, you can play in the SEC. You know what I'm saying? That Miami is one of those teams that they get whoever they want. So, it's not like you're playing at Virginia or somewhere where they're a big program who may not get all the talent they want. I mean, the U gets who they want, and they focus on keeping their hometown talent. And he hits it. He explodes through the hole like anybody. So he may not be as big as Gurley,
yeah. But
he's very explosive. And the only thing you would say is, could he take 20 or 30 carries in the SEC? But yeah. As far as actual production, he'd be a 1,000-yard back end where you put him.
Yeah.
So, I quick question. What does he rate in Miami running backs of the past from Edgerrin James to now? You had your Edgerrin James, Frank Gore, Willis McGahee, Lamar Miller, Clem Portis. Would you put him up there with the Miami greats right now?
He's working his way up. I will tell you that. Like I said, I'm not going to self in and try to put him in front of the guys in Miami, but I think he's working his way up the chart, you know what I mean, to being one of the great Miami backs to come through.
I would say he's definitely better than Lamar Miller right now.
Yeah, I mean, Lamar Miller was really, a sleeper, but, I mean,
yeah, like
sleeper to some guys, you know what I mean? But, you know, Duke Johnson, one of the top backs in the country also, so.
Yeah, Duke Johnson, you know, he deserves the Lewinsky we're giving him because he's actually a really good back right now, so. Predictions, who you got winning the game?
Oh, man, I'm not a fan of neither one of these teams. I say Florida's gonna come with the defense, but I think Miami offense should be pretty good. I don't know too much about Miami's defense. They didn't have any last year, and I don't know what they're working on right now. But I probably go with Miami this game. I'm taking Miami. I'm so sick of people around talking about the U. I'm not gonna call you Boston, the U, Miami.
Like you, I'm going to pick Miami. I think Al Golden, I actually think he has the program going in the right direction. And the only reason I'm picking Miami is because Florida has a quarterback named Jeff Driscoll. If you saw this guy play, you would pick Miami too. So I'm picking Miami for no other reason but that. Quick question, do they win the Coastal Division of the ACC or the Atlantic, whichever one they in?
I mean, it's pretty much up to Miami, I think, Virginia Tech. Georgia Tech, I said, but I mean,
Double R likes to hear that. He's a huge Georgia Tech fan. He thinks Georgia Tech win.
Oh man, come on! Have you seen Georgia? I mean, they played E9 this past week.
Yeah, they put setting up on the women's college.
And you got fans around here they're around here popping champagne bottles over, putting 70 points up on a school that you play every year for the last 20 years.
All right. So, what's the next game to interest you?
I take that Notre Dame and Michigan. I mean, a lot of people saying that it's still a big rivalry. It may be, but I mean, I'm not really that interested in Notre Dame and Michigan, like, you know.
Yeah, I think Brian Kelly was very honest when they asked him. He was like, you know, it's not as big a rivalry as everybody gives it credit for. Just because the schools are pretty big and, you know, and have tradition. To me, Michigan, and you can kind of put Georgia in this category too. They're one of the more overrated schools in college football. It's the schools that when you think about them, you may think they have like five or six national championships. But Michigan only has one since like 1979. And, you know, just like Georgia. So it's one of those games where
Michigan won that one in 97.
Yeah, that's the only one they have since, you know, like, they didn't win any on the Bo Schembechel. So that's one they've had since like the 60s.
Yeah.
And so, again, I just think that, I think it's two good school, a good programs going there. I think it's the tradition more so than the actual teams on the field that give it a good game.
Yeah.
So I would agree with you. I'm not really that thrilled about the game. I am thrilled to see Devin Gardner against a Notre Dame defense that, against Temple, didn't look great. I don't know if you got to catch any of that game, but
yeah, I didn't watch too much.
They didn't look great. They looked all right. But same thing with Michigan. Michigan didn't look great either, so I don't really know. I don't really know how to call this game because they both didn't look great. I will say this, Devin Gardner. Tommy Reese looked good, but Devin Gardner is probably the most explosive player on the field.
Yeah. And I'm on the pick, I'm probably going to go with Michigan. I mean, just because I don't care about this game. But, I mean, taking Michigan in the big house over Notre Dame.
Just like you, I got Michigan as well. I not really paid that much attention to both teams. I saw some of both of their games, and both of them left me with basically a plain taste in my mouth. I think the
how does a plain taste?
I mean, just like you eating basic vanilla ice cream, like whatever. Okay. You know, you want a little pizzazz, a little pop. You know what I'm saying? You know, or like a girl. I mean, you eat a girl. How does it? You want a little oomph to it?
I know you know a lot about it.
You want a little oomph to it, man. But anyway, yeah, I got Michigan winning too. I think that the big house is the home advantage. I think that Brian Kelly gave him some bulletin board material too when he said he didn't consider this a big rivalry. So I just think that's just enough to get them over the edge.
Yeah. I'm with you on that.
Alright, the next game that interests me, if you scroll up, is two that interest me. I'm gonna talk about the first one, Oklahoma and West Virginia. Scroll down. Oklahoma and West Virginia. I think both of these teams have an identity crisis right now. And they're still trying to feel their way through. Oklahoma looked, West Virginia almost lost to a 1AA school last week. So they don't seem to be where they need to be. Oklahoma too is kind of, they had an opening win, but they didn't look great. I think they're still trying to figure out what quarterback to go with. So, but the reason I chose this game is one, it's not even been a good game this week. And two, games like this are always tricky. Your first conference game is very tricky because you don't really know what you have. And so this would be a good test for both teams. In my pick, I got Oklahoma winning. But I wouldn't be surprised if West Virginia came in and upset them. But I do have Oklahoma winning.
Yeah.
Any thoughts on the game?
I mean, West Virginia with a fast-paced offense going against Oklahoma. Probably got a stout defense, so I'll probably take Oklahoma.
Any thoughts on the game?
I mean, West Virginia with a fast-paced offense going against Oklahoma. Probably got a stout defense, so I'll probably take Oklahoma in this one. All
right, so we agree. Any other games that interest you?
Really want to see, Louisville got Eastern Kentucky. That's,
they really know how to pick them, don't they?
Yeah, they're probably watching. They'll probably tell them up. What's that, USC and, man.
It's pretty slim pickings weekend of college football.
Yeah. Man.
Sanford and Arkansas. Arkansas don't stop, dude.
Nah, they keep it going.
Let's go up to Stanford and San Jose State. I just think that's trap game screened all over for Stanford. And the only reason I say this is because San Jose State has played a game and Stanford has not played a game. So you always have those type of games where the underdog has played and the favorite hasn't played. So it's one of those games that if Stanford doesn't look up, San Jose State can be up 20-3. And yeah. Then it makes it difficult for them to come back.
Yeah. I can't go against Stanford.
I'm not saying go against. I'm just saying that those games normally screen trap games just for the simple fact Stanford hasn't played in San Jose State.
Yeah. I don't know how they scheduled this one, but I don't know. Stanford pretty loaded, though. Yeah. I do sleeping on Stanford. I think Stanford should be able to, come out of this game one, really stop all this hype about San Jose State. So, I want to see what's now. I want to see how the offense look with the new addition to the running backs and replacing those tight ends that got.
Do y'all play this week?
Yeah, we got. Matter of fact, we off. We got Nevada next week.
Okay. All right. So that's it for the picks. I'll let you know the results. Before we close the show, we have a new segment, and every week for College and Pros, we'll be doing this. It's called the Lewinsky and the Lewinsky Award and the You Suck Award. The Lewinsky Award is given to a team or person or a conference or a group of teams that deserve a lot of head for how they played the previous week. And the You Suck Award goes to the opposite, the team, the person, or the groups who did a horrible job and they really should be fired or being close to being fired or kicked off the team or whatever. So we're both going to pick our Lewinsky and our You Suck Awards. This week's Lewinsky Award for me would be McNeese State, Eastern Washington, and all the other smaller programs who came in and beat bigger programs.
Yeah.
I thought they really did a good job.
Salute.
Who would your Lewinsky Award be for the week?
Man, the Lewinsky Award for me would probably be Teddy Bridgewater.
Yeah, he went 23 or 25 or something. Yeah, that's how you come out and put a – and stamp your name on the Heisman as a real contender.
Exactly. And, of course, I got to go with Jameis Winston, man.
Yeah, definitely. Both of those two guys. Let me ask you a question. Can Winston win the Heisman?
I mean, right now, I just kind of hope I hope he stay humble, but I think he can. You know what I mean? Like I say, his name ring a bell out there. But me, as a fan, I'm hoping that his kid, that he stays very humble right now. I mean, he got a lot of football in front of him.
Okay. All right. My You Suck Award goes to Oregon State, all the teams that lost this past week, South Florida, Kansas State, all the teams who lost to those programs. You should really quit scheduling those guys because what's the point in paying for a loss? If you want to lose, you can come to Georgia or Florida State or you can go to Oregon and start your year off and get drilled by somebody.
Yeah.
If you're going to lose, you might as well lose to an equal opponent and save the money in your pocket. Mm-hmm. So, Margaret, you and Aaron Murray narrowly escaped my You Suck Award.
Yeah.
But Nick, I'm putting y'all on notice. If y'all lose this game, y'all will be the first ones on the list. Who's your You Suck Award for the week?
I'm going with Mississippi State.
Oh, yeah, they played like shit.
Well, Mississippi State, I'm going with Georgia defense.
They both played like shit. The Mississippi State was funny too, because they actually controlled that game for the first quarter and a half.
They really set you up with a mirage or some alcohol. They were serving alcohol in these drinks and they had you guys fooled about how they was going to come out and win this game. But Oklahoma State came out and punched them in the mouth.
Yeah, once they got going, it wasn't nothing Mississippi State can do. Yeah. And Georgia defense, everybody knows you guys are going to suck. You suck.
Yeah.
Please just hold. If you stop South Carolina two times, we should have won the game.
I don't mean to cut you off. I just want to say, I want to. Can we add another award called "I Told You So"?
Go ahead. Yeah, many awards you want.
Yeah, I just want to say "I Told You So" about your Georgia Bulldogs going into Death Valley playing against Clemson, man.
Hey, it's one of those times. Mark Rick, Aaron Murray, that combination. One thing they are guaranteed to do: let you down. Everybody, thank you for listening. We hope you enjoy the games this week.
Yep, yep.
Do you have any closing shout outs?
Man, shout out to everybody listening, man. You know what I mean? Appreciate y'all, man. Really do, man.
Yeah, we appreciate y'all listening, and thank you again. And make sure to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend.
Yep.